You're listening to Away with Words, the show about language and how we use it. I'm Martha Barnett.
And I'm Grant Barrett. On today's special edition of the show, we're featuring calls from some of our youngest listeners.
A lot of times we get calls from kids about things that family members pass on to each other, like games or sayings or even pronunciations.
Hello, you have Away with Words.
Hi, this is Elise Whitaker from Abilene, Texas.
Hi, Elise. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Elise.
What's up?
So I'm calling in with a question about something that my grandmother does. It's when we're holding hands and we go over something, or we have to break hands and we reconnect on the other side and we say bread and butter. And I was wondering, what does it mean?
So you're walking down the street holding hands with your grandmother. There's a mailbox or a light pole or something in the way. Your hands separate and you each will go on the other side of the thing. And then you rejoin and rehold hands afterward.
Yes, and we call that bread and butter.
Mm-hmm. And you call it bread and butter, or you say bread and butter? Do you both say it?
Yeah, we both say bread and butter.
And what has she told you about that?
Well, she just told me that she heard it from her mom, my mamma. And I asked my mamma about it, and she said that she used to play that at school with her friends. Like when they were out at recess, they would be holding hands, and they would be running or something, and they'd break apart, and they'd say bread and butter, and it was the game that they would play.
Well, very cool. So this is something that's been passed down in your family for generations.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, if you spread butter on bread, then it's pretty hard to separate it, right?
Yes.
And that's the idea there. It goes back to this old superstition about, often it has to do with avoiding conflict, that there's this superstition that if you don't say that, the two people are going to have a quarrel later.
You're gonna fight, or something bad will happen to one or both of you.
Yeah. So there are different versions of this, too. Some people say salt and pepper. Some people say needles and pins. But bread and butter is by far the most common one.
Yeah.
There's a really interesting thing on this. This superstition has been around so long. There are writings from more than 1,500 years ago by somebody known as St. Augustine, where it's in there. He talks about the two people being divided by a rock or a stone or something in their path and the bad luck that can follow. And instead of saying bread and butter, they actually say one of the names of God or something like that. And even in the Talmud, which are some of the holy scriptures of the Jewish religion, there's also parts in there where they're talking about what should not become between two people, and not just a married couple, but any two people who consider themselves friends. So even though the bread and butter is newer, the idea of not wanting to get separated from someone else is much older.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
I had no idea that what we were doing just with my grandmother went back that far.
Yeah, I know. It's
pretty cool,
it's cool,
right?
Yeah.
Grant, did you have any game or saying like that when you were growing up that you've passed on to your own family now?
Well, yeah, we have some family in-jokes and some crude rhymes about beans and what they make the body do.
Yeah, well, that's a very old tradition, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, well, the same goes for histories about some of the everyday words kids want to know about.
Hi, this is Mallory Steele from Colorado.
Welcome to the show, Mallory.
Hi, Mallory.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
I was wondering where the word freckles comes from.
Uh-huh. Freckles, like the dots on your skin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Do you have freckles?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lots of them.
Lots of them,
oh,
yeah.
Lots of them. Okay. Okay. So they're the subject of conversation a lot in your household?
Mm-hmm. Because no one else in my family has very many freckles.
Oh, I see.
So I was just wondering.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a funny word, isn't it?
It is.
Got kind of a funny sound to it. Well, mm-hmm. A couple of things we can tell you about the word freckle. For one thing, it's really, really, really old. It goes all the way back to the 14th century.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, which is pretty darn old. And it probably goes back to a much, much older root that has to do with scattering. I picture seeds, like almost scattering seeds or something like that.
Interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of funny. In German, the word for it is Sommersprossen, which means summer sprouts, literally. So, again, I think you have the seed idea there, sprinkling. Yeah. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So it comes from a really, really old root and probably comes to us through one of the Scandinavian languages, Old Norse, something like that.
Well, thank you. That's very interesting.
Yep, and I love this next call. You can just picture the dinner table debates that prompted this one.
Hi, this is Abigail from San Antonio, Texas.
Well, hello, Abigail. Welcome to the show.
How can we help?
I was talking to my parents the other day, and we were kind of talking about, well, different kind of instruments, like pianoist, pianist, celloist, and we were wondering what it was, because we were arguing, like, oh, no, it's this. My dad said something, and my mom said something different, so we didn't really know what it was.
And what did they say?
Well, my dad said pianist, and my mom said pianoist.
Pianoist.
Pianoist. That's a new one. I don't know that one.
And what kind of piano does she play? I mean, what kind of music?
Like, she's not, like, experienced. She just plays a little bit.
Okay. So she might do old classics or pop music or something?
Yeah. Different kinds.
Okay. Well, traditionally, the pronunciation of this word is pianist, with an emphasis on the first syllable, pianist. There is a second pronunciation, which is less common, and some dictionaries don't even include it, which is pianist. But pianoist isn't a word that is typically used by people who play the piano.
Of course, she
heard that from somebody, so I was wondering. And, like, different instruments, like the cello, violin, the viola, how would you say those? Like, because some people say different, like celloist and... Like, I don't know how you would say those kind of instruments.
Well, cellist
for sure.
Is the word for someone who plays the cello. And viola, I don't actually know.
I think violist.
Violist. But violist. You would always drop the O at the end of piano, cello, and the vowel at the end of piano, cello, and viola. Mm-hmm. And then you would add the ist suffix. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't pronounce the O in piano when you said pianist or the O in cello when you said cellist.
Of course, she could always say piano player. My dad used to say piana.
Piana.
Yeah.
Piana.
Yeah. He was from a rural area.
So our best advice, Abby, is that your mother call herself a pianist. If she wants, she could say pianist, but she should probably avoid saying pianoist. Okay?
Okay.
And we didn't even talk about if a pianist is playing to accompany somebody else. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say accompanist.
Yeah, as I was saying, it's tricky when the word ends in a vowel sound, as in the case of cello or viola. You might be tempted to keep that last syllable in there, but if you want to be correct, you should drop it. It's just accompanist.
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 Well, we'll be right back in a moment with some more serious questions from young voices. But right now, it's time to pitch in and help this public radio station keep bringing you programs that respect your intelligence and feed your curiosity.
Do your part. Here's the number.